It's time for the one show that takes your brothers won't out into the wilderness with your own personal guide, the Pilgrim on the 405, Mr. Will Chris.
Well, welcome to Pilgrim Talks on this beautiful day here in Orange County. And sometimes the old pilgrim gets on the road and goes places and comes back, and sometimes he gets caught on the road. So tonight, we're Skyping in from the 405 of all places. We've got some very interesting conversation coming up tonight. Lots of times, especially when I'm working with salespeople or with the corporate executives, there are edges where they don't want to cross. There are things they don't want to do. They have obstacles and blocks. And I'm always wondering what can be done to help them move beyond those blocks in those places where it's more than uncomfortable. It's where they are just not going to go. It's not just a matter of saying, well, go try harder. It's not just a matter of saying, well, here's some things that you can do. It's not just behaviors. Although behaviors themselves are an important part of any management program or any sales training program, sometimes those behaviors are blocked by issues, emotional issues, that just get in the way. Fortunately, we have some great resources here in Orange County, and one of those resources we're going to be talking to tonight when we talk to Dr. Jacqueline Sidman, who is the CEO and founder of the Sidman Institute. Now, Dr. Sidman has been working with people for 22 years, and in those 22 years, she's helped over 7,000 people achieve their highest potential. She's been doing research to demonstrate exactly what's going on and get the kind of proof that some people need. But the real proof is in those people who used her program and began to see the success as they began to get beyond the blocks, get beyond the barriers that were getting in their way and move into great success. So we want to welcome Dr. Sidman. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Will. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, super. So tell us a little bit about how you got into this business.
Well, I had always been interested in how the mind worked, and I had the same experiences that you've been describing, that I did read a lot of self-help books and take classes and consulted with people, and all of those solutions dealt with the symptoms only, but not the root cause of the problem. So I was able to get certified as a clinical hypnotherapist, and then I went into the doctorate program, got a DCH, and then I went ahead and got my PhD, which is almost, I mean, it's very rare. A lot of people don't get that, to learn exactly how the subconscious mind can make meaningful changes that last. So you get to the root cause of the problem by going into the subconscious mind in a very light, relaxed state, and rework the messages, those erroneous messages that we may have learned as children that cause us to have these blocks. So now I'm a public speaker, and I do programs called Knock Your Blocks Off so people can get rid of those blocks that are holding them back.
Well, you mentioned the subconscious and blocks in the subconscious. How does that work?
Well, you have a conscious mind, and we all know this. We have a subconscious mind that's just below the surface of our awareness, and it operates very much like a computer, and everything that we've ever learned, let's say perceived about the world, is programmed into that subconscious mind, just like you've hit the save button on a computer. Those messages get stored the way they were perceived at the time. And when you reach about the age of 6 years old, when you kind of know how the world works, there's an imaginary door that closes, that's the block, that says, okay, I know how the world works. And then we go about living our lives based on that operating system, if you will. So in the conscious world, we try to change some of those early messages, and some of them are negative. If you were told that you were a bad boy or a bad girl, or you ever got in trouble or something negative happened in your life, you can store that message as truth and believe something negative about yourself, and it can hold you back. So what I do is help people by relaxing to go back into the subconscious mind by just doing a history and asking the right questions that will take them back to those messages so that we can, in effect, edit those messages. It's sort of like editing a computer. And then eliminate the negative emotions that were stored there and replace them with positive, uplifting emotions. Now, emotions are feelings, and feelings drive behaviors. Feelings are stronger than thoughts. You can know what to do. You can know how to do it, just like all those educational books and tapes and CDs and all of the things that you learn in the world that you know how to do them. But if you don't feel like it, you won't do it. It's just like, you know, you say, well, I want to clean the garage. Yeah, right. Like, when are you going to get around to it? So people procrastinate, and they don't know why. You know, they know what to do, and they know how to do it, but they get stuck. And they get stuck because they don't feel like it. So what I do is go back and change those negative feelings and then really eliminate what we call a defense mechanism that kept them in place. Defenses were formed to keep you safe. Now, mind you, many defenses are important. We don't want to touch a hot stove or run in front of traffic. But I'm talking about defenses that are no longer useful, that have no useful purpose in our adult world, that we learned as a child, and they don't matter anymore. And I'll give you an example of that. Let's just say there's a phobia that someone can't get into an elevator. Okay, they get very afraid, and they go, I can't get into an elevator. I'm claustrophobic. Can't go in a small place or get into an elevator. And you may find out that they fell into a well as a child. Well, the subconscious mind has put a defense mechanism in place that says, don't go in that small place. Danger. And it kicks out this anxiety that keeps you stuck in this repetitive pattern. But it's not happening now. So what we do is go back, get the memory, and say, educate the subconscious mind, say, you know, this isn't happening now. It's okay to let go of this defense. And it goes, really? Okay. Because really, the truth is that you're in charge of you. You can reset those memories and eliminate the negative and install what you really want. So what this process does is really put you in control so that you can make new decisions. And then they'll be effective. Does that make sense?
Well, now, why is it so difficult? I mean, it's what I'm hearing from you is that this is that it's simple to do this. Mm-hmm. Why is it so difficult to change those negative beliefs?
Oh, that's a really good question, Will. The truth is, defenses are trying very hard to protect you, and they're tricky. The reason I've developed this program over many years is that I've worked with so many people, and I found that if I just give positive information, it doesn't stick, because the defense is it's put there to help you. It thinks it's helping, because when it was put there, it was helping. So it's going to defend you against getting to the real truth. It doesn't want to go there. So it kind of requires someone to facilitate it, to be objective. I mean, even with myself, I mean, I can't be objective with myself. Well, I can to a certain degree, but if I hit a defense, I might need to have someone help me reason it out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because sometimes you won't get the memory. It'll go all around it, but it won't get to the absolute truth. You've heard the expression, the truth will set you free. Well, the absolute truth will set you absolutely free. And you get memories that you kind of may never get to. I mean, I just did a session with someone recently that had a blocked success. And after a while, and I dig deeply down as to, you know, all the layers of defenses to get to the real truth, the absolute truth, and it was when, you know, his father said he was a bad boy, and he had lost attention because there was a new child that was born after him that got all the attention, and he felt he wasn't good enough. And those feelings of not being good enough have held him back from his success. Well, they're not true, because of course he was good enough, and of course his father loved him. So it was a child's interpretation, and that's the perception I'm talking about. It could have been just a moment, but it's still stored there as truth. So when we get to the memory, we can say, okay, this isn't true. Let's get rid of these false lies, and then you are empowered to make changes.
Okay. Well, out of these 7,000 people that you've helped, what are some of the, could you share with us some of the astounding stories, especially around success, where people have been blocked from success? What are some stories of recovery from those?
I got a million. How much time do we have? Well, you know, I have one here on anxiety, someone who had performance anxiety that surfaced at business meetings. He felt nervous and shaky and had a fear of speaking. And he was intimidated. So what I do is I take that intimidated part, because the mind thinks in parts, back to when he was first intimidated, and it had something to do with a schoolroom, and the teacher called on him, and he didn't know the answer, and it just got stored there that he couldn't speak up. And once he got rid of that memory, or not the memory doesn't go away, but the negative emotion goes away, he has actually had a complete turnaround, and the intimidation is gone, and it hasn't come back. And this is a guy that was a CEO in an investment firm, and it absolutely gave him success, financial success. And the anxiety went away. So that's one. I have people that have had stress that has caused high blood pressure. The stress level gets reduced, and the blood pressure goes down because we find out what caused that nervousness. I have one fellow that came to me. Actually, he had a stroke, and he had a difficult time with his speech. And I'm thinking, well, gosh, I'm not going to be able to understand what he's saying. So when we got into this relaxed state, I asked for the part of the mind that spoke perfectly, because there is a part before he got the stroke that spoke perfectly. And you know what? He spoke perfectly. Well, then I was astounded, and I said, well, what part of him is stopping him from speaking perfectly? What's wrong? And it said he's nervous. So what I do is isolate the parts. The part that was nervous, I said, take us back to when you were formed, because, again, we want the initial time. If you get the first time in the subconscious, you get the whole pattern. And he remembered being a little kid, and his mom was mad at him, and she's carrying a big stick. She's going to spank him, and he's a little boy, and she's a big grown-up. But the truth is that here he was a 60-year-old man. Now his mom was a little old lady. He was still afraid of her. It was like, you know, a Great Dane with a Chihuahua in the corner. And he had a boss that intimidated him, and he had even his son and his wife intimidated him. And he really had problems to the point where his blood pressure went so high that he had a stroke, and then he couldn't work. Now, he was a teacher, so we needed to get the blood pressure down and his speech to improve. So we had him use his imagination, because this process is very powerful, and we do it in a state of imagination. Einstein said imagination is the most powerful tool we have, if used correctly. And we went back to memory and had her put down the stick and give him a hug and tell him, of course, she loved him. She was only scolding him to make him, you know, be a good boy. And he felt himself growing. This is a very spiritual shift. We're healing the spirit. And he felt himself getting bigger and her getting smaller. So they were eye to eye. And when he went out into the world, he felt empowered to the point where he had a very intimidating boss that was yelling at him. And he just said to the boss, he said, are you having a bad day? I mean, he had a sense of strength within him to say that instead of, you know, running the other way. And his boss cried. I mean, it's like nobody ever cared because he was blustery, you know, and he, you know, gave people headaches. You know, the type that says, I don't get headaches, I give them. That's the kind of guy he was. And he says, you know, he gave him a promotion. So I say it's like playing a country and western music record backward. He got his job back, his wife back, his son back, his dog back, and all these things. And he got his speech back. So
wow.
His wife called me and said, can't I just intimidate him a little bit? Yeah.
Well, now, have you ever worked with somebody who was self-sabotaging their success?
All the time. All the time. That, if I had to say that was the biggest thing, especially in business. You know, you want to go one direction, you go another direction. You want to be organized, and you're disorganized. You want to make those phone calls and close the sale, but, you know, you procrastinate. You get, you know, things distract you. You get easily distracted. That's kind of the biggest thing. Interruptions and people, you know, really, they bother you. So you get anxious. You don't want to talk to them. And, definitely in business it's very, very important.
And why do people self-sabotage?
Again, it's that initial program that said, do it this way, and then you try to do it another way, and you go back to the same initial program. I call it a reactive pattern. You just keep going back to the same program. You know what to do. You know how to do it. You start off in a new direction, and then you find yourself slowly but surely going back to the same way you did it before. That's because the subconscious mind has set it up that way. Okay, that's sabotage. It's like I want to make more money, but I go back to where I don't believe I can make more money. Or in the case of somebody recently that I had, it's not that he couldn't make more money. It's that even when he did make more money, he didn't feel like a success because inside he didn't feel good about himself.
Hmm.
See what I'm saying?
Hmm. Has there ever been anybody in your experience who has sort of punished themselves for being a success because their subconscious said they shouldn't be?
Yes, I've had some very wealthy people that came to me and they go, if they only knew. I'm just a little kid and I'm scared to death that they're paying me all this money, you know. Again, it's the little kid inside, and that's what I get to. I don't know anybody else who can do that, really, to get back to where that...
All right, so we've talked about business. How about relationships?
Well, in relationships, guess what? The biggest problem are buttons. Buttons that get pushed. You know, and it's primarily because somebody feels insecure. And if they feel slighted or jealous and insecure, they're going to react. And I call them reactive patterns. And they just keep reacting the same way. And they can't figure that out either. It's like, why? So the thing is to be in control, to put your conscious mind in control so that you are matter of fact and calm and you can make choices instead of reactions, respond instead of react.
Well, now I've known people who've been in therapeutic relationships, and in psychotherapy they've been there for a year, two, three, 4 years. Is that what your program is?
No, it's very short term. In fact, I've had people that have been in counseling for many years, and they come in. I have a little intake form, and I have all these things listed that I help them with, like losing weight, stopping smoking, improving their sex life, making more money, having more success, alleviating depression, anxiety, improving business, getting over shyness, stress, tension, all these things on this list, and they'll still have everything on the list. And I go, well, then how is it that after 20 years of therapy you still are struggling with these problems? You see, because they've only been talking to the conscious mind. It's sort of like, let's just say there's a tree, and there's the earth, and there's the root of the tree. Now, the tree, the top part would be the conscious mind, then you have the earth, and then you have the bottom part underneath the surface of the earth. That's the subconscious mind. And many times in therapy, there's just conjecture about what the root cause is. They talk about it. They might even make a lot of sense, and you might even know, you know, your life history and where something could have started, but you don't get to the true feelings. It's very hard to get to the true feelings. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Good Will Hunting. Did you ever see that movie?
Yes, yes.
Okay, where he went to years and years of therapy and with Robin Williams and Matt Damon. They won the Academy Award for this movie because finally they got to his feelings, and then everything changed. Everything changed. But that took many years of therapy. What I do is very short term. So you get there instantly. I call it instant inner peace, because once you get to that, and I don't re-traumatize anybody with their memories at all. It just takes like a heartbeat to get the memory and then send it away and restore them to a place of well-being. That doesn't take long, because in the subconscious mind, the subconscious never lies. It just never lies.
Really?
So, yeah. Yeah. The conscious mind lies all the time.
Well, it has to. If it can't do anything else,
it has
the
to
subconscious
justify its
is the
position.
One in control.
Yes. Yeah, it does.
Well, all right. So now we've talked about in business. We've talked about relationships. How about professional? Is there a place where a professional would come to you, not in business, but and not relationships, but something's going on with their professional life?
Well, what's the difference between business and professional?
Well, I'm thinking of somebody who has lots of degrees, somebody who's been working in their profession as an attorney or a doctor. Is that something that you find that would be helpful for them as well?
Oh yes, I've had many attorneys, many physicians. Different kinds of, I've even had therapists, psychotherapists come to me because they haven't been able to get to the root cause. And their techniques that they've learned in school are different than what I do. And and then they need to find out what it is. And, you know, so many times, well, it has to do with insecurities. insecurities where, you know, they start off as little kids. And, you know, when you're little, everything scares you. And so you learn that the world is very big and you're very small. So sometimes, depending on, of course, the events of their life and the structure of their family, they can still carry these insecurities within them. I have attorneys that have gotten over, like I say, anxieties and stresses that have led to illness as well. And they come to me and they go, well, how is it that the body is expressing this? How come I feel ill at ease? You know, and that's like the basis for dis-ease. It's where you're not feeling good about yourself. So, yeah, they have the same human conditions that other people have. Just because they have big jobs doesn't mean that it doesn't apply. And I can think of incidents. Like, I had a gentleman who was a very big attorney in town, and I have an office with big windows. And before he came, he had a fear of the windows that he was going to jump out. And, I mean, and this guy, he was in court all the time. He was very successful. And he says, but I'm afraid to come to your office. I may want to jump out. I said, well, the windows are, you know, there's no balcony or anything. You can't get out. He had walked around the building and found a balcony. He said, no, there's a balcony. I said, but it's not in my office, and I've never even been on that floor, you know. But that's how severe his fear was. And so I had him just follow me up, you know, the elevator, and follow, you know, like be behind me, look at the back of my head, walk into the office. We closed all the blinds and everything. And in his case, it's very interesting where things come from. Everybody is different. He was a late-in-life baby, and his parents nurtured and protected him so much that he was so sheltered that until he was 12 years old, he was still sitting between them in the front seat of the car because they said it was dangerous out there.
Whoa, my
Isn't
goodness.
Isn't that interesting?
Ooh-wee.
Yeah, so he was afraid to be out there. He couldn't drive over hills or bridges or, you know, someone else had to drive him. And wow. After only a few sessions, and he'd been to therapy for years, and after only a few sessions, we got all the connecting messages and eliminated them, and he was on his merry way. He was fine. He was driving everywhere.
Wow. Oh, so he couldn't drive.
Well, he could drive on surface streets, but he couldn't go over a hill or a mountain or a bridge. He couldn't go over the freeway.
And he was an attorney, a professional attorney.
Yes, yes. So, wow. You know, and so many times, well, these things are internal. You know, people don't, yeah, everybody looks normal on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they all look fine. Everybody's practiced at being social. But it's an internal struggle. So I say end your internal struggle where you want to go one way and you find that you're blocked and you keep repeating the pattern. Get rid of that struggle. Get rid of those messages that are holding you back. And, yeah, I just had a big physician in town who had an anger issue. And he would just kind of blow up. In fact, I'll just say it's kind of funny because he came from a family that had a chicken ranch, and there were thousands, I mean, literally thousands of chickens. And he started working at a young age. And his father just said, don't talk back and do what I tell you. And if you don't, you're going to get in trouble. And the father yelled a lot. And so when he had too much and he was overwhelmed, because he did take on a great deal, he was very successful, he started yelling. He yelled at his employees. He yelled at, you know, people on the phone. And he said, I don't want to do that anymore. He's basically a really nice guy. But it came from when he was a little kid and he got yelled at, see. So people tend to carry the emotions for their family. You know, things that were done to them, if they were yelled at, sometimes they become yellers. Or they go, it goes inside, and they might have an addiction, and it comes out in negative behaviors. So I've written a bunch of books on the subject, you know, eliminating weight issues, addictions and compulsions, overcoming fears and phobias, improving self-esteem to improve health. All of these things go back to early negative emotions.
Well, now you mentioned something about disease. What's the relationship between disease and these negative emotions?
Well, I call it intelligence in the cells. When you have stress, and doctors know this, I mean, they say if you have stress, you know, it can cause a heart attack. And that stress can go into your cells. Think about this. If you're angry, don't you feel tense? You feel like, you know, you could make a fist, you could punch something, right? If you're depressed, feelings are physical. You can't make a fist. You can't even get off the couch. People that I see that are really depressed, right, they just can't make themselves do things. if you're anxious, you know, you're darting around ADD or distraction or compulsion, you can act out to try to soothe that, to get, I call it immediate gratification, to soothe it by, you know, starting up with drinking or drugs or whatever, and then it becomes a habit. And then you can't overcome it because you're in the ritual of doing that. But they all, what was the question? I'm sorry.
The connection between
In the cell.
Disease and the unconscious.
Okay. Yeah, and that goes into the cells. Now, I'll just give you one other example. I had a gal that came to me who had an illness called interstitial cystitis. I didn't even know what that was. To me, it's just a part. I'm not a medical doctor. I don't do medical treatments. But that part had an emotion connected to it. So when we did her history and we did the session, we found out that it went back to when she was just a little girl. It's an illness in the bladder. It's like ulcers in the bladder. It's very painful. And she had been on medication for like 10 years for pain, and she was having painful treatments and what have you, but nobody got to the real root cause. And the root cause in her case was she had a very violent alcoholic father, and he would have these rages at night and scream and break things. And she's a little girl, she's in bed, she's afraid, and she can't get up to go to the restroom, and it became this bladder illness. Now, how do I know this? Because she got well within 3 to 6 sessions. She was off her medication, and she also was able to be in a very successful relationship and get married because she was afraid of marriage. Her parents' marriage was not good. And so when the emotion was healed, she was safe in the marriage, and her body got well. Now, this particular case study was published in the Journal of Reproductive Medicine. That is the premier OBGYN journal in the world, and they don't publish most things. So it was a pretty good case study. But isn't that interesting? So the emotion of fear went into the cells, and it later became a bladder illness.
Wow. But well, I've got some other questions for you. Can you stick around after the break?
I'd love to. Thank you.
All right. We'll be right back after we hear a word from our sponsors.
Thank you.
If you're looking to make a New Year's resolution, there's no better place to start than by looking into Sandler Sales Training. It's sales training for those who can't otherwise sell, or don't like to sell, or hate to sell, or will do anything instead of selling. It's a system that's been proven for years, and you can sign up right here, right today. Make a change. Make a choice. Sign up with Sandler Sales Training. For information, just simply contact the Pilgrim on the 405, Mr. Will Crist. It's willchrist@willchrist.com. That's willchrist@willchrist.com. And now back to Will Crist. I thought Will would like that. I thought I'd do a commercial for him this time. He's always doing commercials for others. I said, we're going to do a little commercial for Will.
Oh, that's
all right.
Great.
Well, thank you.
Great.
All right, so Jacqueline.
Yes.
You know, one of the things that's really interesting to me is this whole notion of short-term therapy. Talk a little bit more about what goes on in your session, how these things, that 3 to 6 sessions to change 35 years of being captured by these unconscious beliefs.
Well, I call them subconscious, not unconscious. Okay, well, I just want to correct that. Because
Okay. Unconscious,
you don't know what's going on. But subconscious means that they are just below the surface of awareness. Why is it short-term? Because I like to see results. I really don't think I'd have the patience to do long-term therapy. I didn't want to do it. I don't want to hear somebody having their problem. My joy comes from helping people. And when they come back, they've changed. There's something positive that has happened in their life. And it's very subtle. Well, okay, what happens in a session? Well, when we first meet, I get to know you a little bit, and we I evaluate what your needs are, and I explain my process, kind of like I've been doing a little bit here. And then I do a complete history, so I find out the relationships of the people in your life and the events that could have influenced you. that gives me the information to ask the right questions. Just like you're interviewing me, I'm interviewing the subconscious mind. Now, I love my job because I don't have to know the answers. I just know the questions. And the subconscious mind provides the answers. But I'm very good at navigating the subconscious mind, unraveling those defense mechanisms to find out where it takes us. And then I could put you into a very light, relaxed state where, you know, it's very safe, and nobody does anything against his or her will, you know, but you're very focused and alert. You remember everything, but you're relaxed. And so it's sort of like tuning into a radio station. Okay, people are listening on the radio. You can't get the message until you tune it in. Okay, so you have your subconscious mind is there, but we're not tuning it in because we're very busy with the cacophony in the real world. So we want to slow things down, and it's very subtle. So when you get to that little relaxed state, then I ask questions. And then the answers that come up are usually very meaningful. And, I call them just parts. It's called a gestalt. There's a whole unit of measurement where we address the presenting symptom, and then we follow the trail back to the root cause. So there are many times that people go to the surface, you know, and they don't necessarily open that door to the subconscious. And my job is to pry a little bit further, and to get them to open that door to get to the real truth. And the real truth will set you free. That's why I put it on my literature. The Sidman Solution will set you free. And it's very fast. Once you get there, if you really do get there, and sometimes it takes a little bit of work. Sometimes it might take a few times. But usually I really like to get there fast in the first couple of sessions.
How do you know when, I mean, what does that mean when you get there? Does your client know that they get there?
First of all, there's usually a feeling that surfaces, the negative feeling surfaces, mm-hmm. and yeah, they pretty much know. They don't want to go there. It's not particularly fun the first time, but then after that, it's sort of fun. I work with subconscious symbols. I call them the subconscious symbols. They're like your dream language, and they have meaning. Well, let me give you an example. Let's say somebody's shy. Okay, and shyness can have a lot of outreach to it. You know, a simple shyness might be not speaking up, not saying what you really mean, or it could mean, you know, not speaking up in a meeting, or in severe cases, it could be agoraphobia, and it might hold you back, and it certainly could be a block in sales. Think about sales. You know, people mm-hmm. want to get out there and make that sale or close the sale or ask for the deal or ask for more money. It can be shy. They can be shy. So to me, I call it a part. It's just a part of you. Okay, just like the interstitial cystitis was a part. I like to simplify things. It's a part. Now we call it to mind. Now it could look like something because we store information in pictures and sounds and emotions. And you know that because of the way we think of things, right? I mean, if you think of your home, you can picture your living room furniture. If you think of a fire engine siren, you can hear that siren in your mind's ear, so to speak, but you don't really hear anything. So it's not, you know, spooky. We don't hear voices. But we have memories that have messages, and so we hear those thoughts. And then the emotions are the triggers, and that's what we want to get to is the emotion. And the memory connected to that. So if someone's shy, let's say we call to mind the shy part. Now it might look like something because it's, like I say, the subconscious mind thinks in symbols. So let's say it looks like a tree, the way you could picture, you know, your living room. And that tree carries the whole memory, the gestalt, back to when it was first formed. So I ask people, take us back to when you were formed. And again, it might be tricky. You might not want to go there right away, but, you know, we want him to get back to the memory. So maybe the memory, the first memory, you say, how do you know? Well, I remember being 2 and I got yelled at. Well, how do you know? Well, because it scared me. I mean, I have so many millions of stories from people. I mean, I have a gentleman who went back to when, you know, he said his family was in New York. They had a store downstairs and they had their living room, you know, their home upstairs. And he was 2. And they all went downstairs thinking he was fine. He was safe. Well, they knew he was safe, but he didn't know he was safe. So that scared him, and that became a big, major fear for him. Now, it wasn't for very long. They came back. But when you're 2, you know, time goes very slowly. So this big fear became manifest. So what we do is we say, you know, you put the people in front of you, say whatever the situation might be, whatever it was you didn't say then, or you didn't have the resources to say then. It scared me. You scared me. Why'd you do it? Usually it's just, I don't know, I was having a bad day, or we didn't think it was dangerous, or, you know, we never meant to hurt you. There are times, of course, when they were in real, you know, trauma. They did have someone who spanked them or didn't care. Maybe they didn't want them, or, you know, but they can still get rid of it. You say, I don't want to carry this negative within me, and we literally send it away. Okay, and it's very powerful. It's like it's palpable. I've been told this is like a palpable feeling that leaves. Negative feeling leaves. And that's how you know, because you can feel it getting lighter. All right? And then we restore you to what you were before you had that feeling, before you got scared. Well, what did you feel? Well, I was, you know, people say symbolically sometimes they see a teddy bear, or they see their dog, or they see, you know, their mom giving them a hug, or whatever it might be. And we say, what does that message carry? And it's usually love. It's usually love. And we say, restore you to that place of love and safety. And then you feel that restoring within you. Then we go back to this symbol. It's very powerful work, really. And you go back to the symbol, which is representative of the defense mechanism, and say, well, I don't need you anymore. Maybe now you can go away. And it goes, really? Okay. And it literally goes away. And that's why it's fast, because you have now taken charge of that part.
Now, would you say that most of these subconscious blocks were put there before people were 6 years of age, or is it at any time, or what's been your experience?
Well, that's a really good question, too, Will, because maybe an event happened later in life that was traumatizing. I've worked with vets, you know, they were in the war. That's very traumatizing. But what I do, and the reason I think what I do is even more powerful, is because the feeling that they got fear might still have gone back to an earlier fear. And we want the earlier one as well. So we do the traumatized one, and then we do the early one as well. So it's very complete. Does that make sense?
Yeah. But what I'm hearing is that lots of what people have goes back to a very early age.
Usually it does. But there have been people that have been in a car accident or been abandoned, and, you know, they carry this. But I really want to, if there is an earlier one, I want to get it. Sometimes it doesn't always, you know, there are occasions when it doesn't always go back.
Right, but for the most part, the majority of them have roots back in early childhood.
Yes, and sometimes even birth.
At birth?
Yeah, they'll remember birth.
Oh, and you're not going to talk to me about before birth, are you?
Oh, I've had people go back to the womb. In fact, I had a gentleman that came in. He had everything on my page. And he had a social phobia, and he'd been to years of therapy. And he also had scoliosis, by the way. And no doctors could cure his scoliosis, and nobody could cure his social phobia. And actually, he was a young guy, came in with his parents, and what it went back to was, it was in the womb, and he says, I'm cozy. I like it. I don't want to be born. That's what the message was that came. And when I told his mom, I mean, he gave me permission to tell his mom, she said, yeah, he was 3 weeks late. See? And so we got past the anxiety of being born, and guess what? His back got straight. He got over social phobia and his
not
back.
Scoliosis. You're not going to tell me scoliosis was cured.
And we tested him before, during, and after, and then we tested him 2 years later, and it was still, everything was still the same. He had completely gotten over everything on the page, which are all these symptoms. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, now, the question comes up to my mind is once people deal with these, does that ever come back?
Well, that's what I'm saying. We tested, we had a pilot study that we tested them before, during, and after, and to a person, these problems went away, and then we tested them 2 years later, and they hadn't come back for that study. And I have a foundation that's doing research on primarily for right now depression and anxiety, because that's our first study. We needed control groups, and we're going to compare it against people taking medication, and my treatment, then just my treatment, and then only medication, and then only my treatment. So we have three groups. and to compare, because this treatment is cost effective. We want to approach the insurance companies so that they can approve it and I can train other people. I don't want to be the only one who's doing it. It's too good.
Well, is there any reason for somebody to believe that there's anything other than safety in using your process?
People are a little bit apprehensive, but when I meet them, I usually do a free consultation so they can meet me. I don't have, claws or anything. I'm nice. And mm-hmm. They feel safe with me and I know what I'm doing, and then we talk about it. And if they want to, they do it. If they don't feel a kinship with me, typically they won't do it. But I'm pretty good at building rapport with people, and when they feel safe, they will give it a shot most of the time. Yeah.
All right. Well, now can I move to a little different topic? And as a professional, you have a practice, mm-hmm. and could you talk a little bit? Would you be willing to share a little bit about how you build your practice? Because a lot of people who are listening here are salespeople, and some of them have blocks, and some of them are really interested in how they can fix those. And then there's others who are interested in hearing how a professional goes about attracting clients, building a business.
I'm an attraction, not so much a promotion, because advertising typically doesn't work for me, because people say mm-hmm. that sounds too good to be true. So I'm a public speaker. I go out and do a lot of speaking. I do radio programs like we're doing now. I've done a lot of television. And I do a lot of networking and meeting other people, plus I get a lot of referrals. I'm now learning how to do social media. It's a whole new area for me. But I think it's mostly I'm very proactive. I really don't sit on what do they say? Grass doesn't grow under my feet very long. I know how to go out there and generate business because I believe in what I do, and I'm not afraid to talk about it. And I have lots of literature. I've written a number of books and stuff. So I'm in National Speakers Association, and I learn from other people. I take seminars, and I learn the practical steps. I also do a lot of coaching for people that are in business if they want to be accountable for something.
Mm. So that's different from your process, your coaching.
It's kind of, it goes hand in hand.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, what would you, I'm always curious as to what would somebody have to feel or think or believe in order to pick up the phone and call you? Who should be thinking they should come talk to Jacqueline Sidman?
Anybody who feels stuck. If they've tried to change and they find themselves getting the same results, that they can't seem to move forward, either they feel blocked. In business, a lot of times it's that they just, they can't seem to overcome the resistance to doing something that they really know they should do. And they go in a different direction. They procrastinate. Okay.
Things all right.
Like all of course, right. If they're procrastinators, they may not pick up the phone.
Uh-huh. Well, if they're working really hard, they're not getting success. Is that a reason to come talk with you?
If they're working really hard and they're not getting success? Yes, because there could be a ceiling to the belief system, too. Yeah, we can get over that belief system. I had one guy that came to me and he said, well, my family was poor but happy, so I'm afraid to be rich. I won't be happy. See, these can be beliefs that you learned as a child. And we get in touch with, everybody's unique, and we get in touch with their unique set of beliefs and get to the messages so we can change them. Is it okay if I give my phone number?
Oh, absolutely. We want to tell. Yeah, how should people get in touch with you?
I have the phone number is 949-251-9550. That's 949-251-9550. And my website is www.sidmansolution.com. So sidmansolution.com. And there's a lot of information on there as well. And I offer free consultation. If they don't really know what they want to work on or how they feel stuck, then, we can talk about it. I'm very willing to do that.
Good. Good. Well, what would you say, very often what I've done is give a guest a microphone and a minute to talk to the people in Orange County or Southern California and talk to them about what they might be looking forward to and what kinds of things that might be helpful to them?
You mean in working with me? Finding their personal power, their self.
Well, you know, yeah, you've been around the various networking groups, and you know where people are. What kinds of beliefs would be helpful to them in business today? And you know, again, what would be stumbling blocks that should immediately cause them to come and talk with you?
Well, if they feel unreasonable, I'm going to just say a couple of things that are unreasonable. Anger, if they have, a block to their speaking to people and telling the truth, and so they manipulate others to try to get what they want, that's a problem. If they find they have a lot of, poor health, they're getting sick all the time, there's something going on there. Like I say, anger, depression, anxiety that keeps them nervous if they have insomnia. Those are really, a lot of tension. I had a gentleman that came to me. He had so much tension in his neck that they called it dystonia. He couldn't not turn his neck. There's an illness. And he was getting treatments of Botox, which is botulism in his neck, just to turn his neck every month. And we found out it had to do when he was a little kid, his parents got divorced, and he decided he would be the man of the family and that he took on much more than he could handle. So it was too much stress, and now he was in a big executive, and he's still carrying the stress in his neck. So we got rid of that stress, that he didn't an over amount of stress or too much stress. So if they're feeling too much stress, it may be coming from someone. If they have trouble concentrating or focusing, if they get distracted easily or they're disorganized, if they can't seem to follow through and finish what they start, all of those things would be, signals that they need to get past the block.
Okay. Well, this has been really helpful, and it's been really interesting talking with you. And I'm in awe of what kind of the power of resources that we have in Orange County, and especially the resource that you bring to us.
Well, thank you so much. Well, it's been my pleasure. I really enjoyed talking with you.
Super. Well, tell us again what your telephone number is and where people should go to get in touch with you.
All right. Well, I'm in Irvine, California. My number is 949-251-9550, 251-9550, and my website is www.sidmansolution.com.
Well, thank you so much. We'll be talking to you soon.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Will.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Well, what a powerful resource we have right here in Orange County, and it seems to me that there are lots of people who have used Jacqueline, over 7,000 people in the last 22 years, and some very, very significant people. And it's so interesting to me to find that people at all levels have blocks, have issues, have things that are getting in their way. I find it regularly in my sales training and sales management, and then just in management coaching, that there are things that get in the way, and it's not always a cognitive conversation that's going to solve it. So lots of great things out there. It's fascinating to me driving up and down the 405, finding out who people are and what they do and how they're contributing to this great county that we have here in Orange County in California. So this on the 405. Wishing you a great day and a Merry Christmas, and we'll be talking with you again next week.
You've been listening to the only show that takes you into the wilderness with your own personal guide, The Pilgrim, on the 405.